Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, today we are carrying on asking the question, what's the point? And today we are asking the question, what is the point of small groups? So, for those who may not know what's going on with small groups and things like that, so we meet together here at ZC Baptist Church on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening, which you must know because you're here. But throughout the week, there are a number of groups that meet where we meet together in as the body of Christ, as the church, but in smaller groups. Well, we're going to what the point of them is and what we do, but it's about speaking together, being together, praying together, listening together, all these sorts of things we'll go into today. Now, we've discovered, or that there's a statistic floating around in church at the moment, is that half of us in this church are in small groups. And that means that half of us aren't. But if you are not in a small group, I'm hoping today, when you hear the point of them, you'll be like, yes! I want to be involved. And can I encourage you, please do get involved in a small group. I know that they are. It's a scary thing to think about going to. It's a scary thing to take that first step. But it's definitely, definitely worth it. And I hope you'll find out why as we kind of go through this today. If you are interested, come see Toby or me or Ian. Just wave, Ian. Or Emma. Or there's some leaflets at the back about the different groups. They meet at different times, different places. There's definitely a group that you can be a part of, so please do join one. So, small groups, what is the point? You know, I want to start off by saying small groups isn't a new idea. Small groups, house groups, they're not something that we've come up with and thought, oh, you've got to be involved in this, it's great. I would argue that they've been right the way through the Bible. If we go back into the New Testament, we find the early church meeting in small groups. If we go to Romans 16, we actually find Paul writing the letter to the church in Rome and including, seemingly, greetings to the different congregations or the different small groups within that church. If we go back just a little bit further, we find the world's greatest small group with its greatest small group leader, Jesus and his disciples. You know, Jesus preached to crowds and crowds. He had 72 followers he sent out, but he spent time praying, working with, learning with, teaching with a group of 12. You know, Jesus clearly loved the idea of small groups and used it to structure how he did things. But I would argue if we go back into the Old Testament, it's not as clear, but we see small groups. And we see actually maybe God created us to be in small groups because he created us to be in families. You know, when you go back to the Old Testament, back into sort of early Israel time, family looked a lot different to how it looks today. Whether it's because of communication or whether because, you know, journeying places is easier, families aren't as close-knit, aren't as extended families, aren't as close together as they used to be. But in the Old Testament, we find families lived together, many generations sometimes under one roof. They were living together as small groups. Last week, we looked in Deuteronomy at Jonah's dedication about the command to have the words of the law always on our lips, teaching them to our children, using them in conversation, always being present. That doesn't make sense. Well, it makes sense a lot more when you're talking about families. When you're talking about small groups meeting together, small group of family being together and sharing that word over and over again. So I'd argue that right the way through the Bible, we see that small groups are God's plan for us. It's a way in which he encourages us to be community together. So I want to suggest there are 5 points today, so you know how far we're kind of going and where we're at. 5 points as to what the point of small groups is. Now, I'm going to share a little bit about my small group today, and we're going to have a couple of people come up and share throughout what's going on with their small group. But I will put this thing in at the beginning. I'm going to share the good parts of my small group. I'm not suggesting there are bad parts, although there definitely are. And then it's not people. Don't look at me like that. But, you know, I will reckon I've been on a journey with small groups, and there have been amazing highs, and there have been some really difficult lows. And that is because if you take nothing else away, small groups are about doing life together, which means there are high points and there are low points. So if you are in a small group and you're at a high point, we're going to hear from some of those groups, and that's wonderful and awesome, and we should celebrate. If you're at a low point, then we commiserate with you, but know that that high point is there to come again. Okay? So, 5 points as to what small groups are here for, what the point of them is. Number one, they facilitate prayer. Small groups are meant to facilitate prayer. You know, small groups aren't mini churches. They're not kind of churches within churches. A better way of understanding it is we are, together, the body of Christ. Each one of us are part of the body. Small groups are kind of like the systems you have within a body. You know, like you have the circulatory system and the respiratory system. I would name the organs that go into those things, but I don't know them. But they make up the body. They work together in these systems, then they make up a whole body. That's what small groups are like. So small groups, they facilitate prayer. A small groups that pray together is a church that prays together. And as Lynn, I don't know if she said it this morning because I was out with the kids, there is so much to pray for, too much to put in this service here, which is where small groups come into their own. It's a place where we can pray about the things that logistically there's not enough time to pray in this meeting. But not only that, they're the places where we can pray about, hesitate to say, the smaller things. You know, we had a prayer meeting yesterday and it was brilliant. And we prayed about big picture things. We have prayers in this morning service, and often they are big prayers, which is good, because our God is a big God and can do big things. But God wants to be involved in that every day, in the small things in our lives. And small groups should allow us this opportunity to share those difficulties with each other, to share those day-to-day worries, those day-to-day difficulties with each other. As it says in Galatians 6, that we might bear one another's burdens. Pray through those things together. Bring those to God. Small groups should facilitate prayer. They should be the places where we can share the little things with each other and bring them to God. But actually, small groups are also like a training ground for prayer. You know, it's I don't know if you've ever experienced this, all right, but you come to a church meeting or a church service or even to a church prayer meeting, and you sit there and you're like, I don't think I want to pray out loud because, you know, what if it's theologically inaccurate? Yeah. What if it just gets confused and it comes out completely wrong and I call God a she or something? You know, or whatever your theology is on that. But anyway, it's difficult. What if I say something really confusing and really difficult? You know, I don't know about you, but I go through those things when I'm sat there in a prayer meeting and you sound like, this should be easy. It's just talking to my friend. But it becomes very difficult. Well, actually, small groups is a place for us to practice. To prepare ourselves for those moments. You know, we all have prayer lives, I'm sure, where we pray individually with God. But there is something incredible about encouraging each other in prayer. We're meant to do it. And small groups is a great place for us to practice that. To share together in those moments. You know, let me give you just very briefly, you know, if you want to hear more about prayer, then go and listen to Martin's sermon from a few weeks ago. It was absolutely brilliant. But let me just share with you, if you do worry about sharing something or praying something and it's wrong, can I encourage you, in Romans it says that we don't know how to pray the way we should. But the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. So don't worry. God knows what our hearts are, and that is far more important than the words we necessarily use, which Jesus shows in so many of his parables. So be encouraged and use small group as a place to practice prayer. Practice praying together. Small groups are a place we facilitate prayer, and it's a place where we can listen together. Now, as we come into this vision discovery process, you are going to get sick of hearing it, if you're not already. But it is still an incredibly exciting thing we are about to do. Take time to listen to God. And we're going to do that in these services. We're going to do that in many different ways. But one of the ways we're going to do it is in small groups. And one of the best ways to do it is in small groups. As we listen together, as we pray together and give time to listen, as we discuss together. Small groups should facilitate prayer. I'm going to invite Toby to invite somebody else up.
But at this point, where are they? Okay, they are here. It was a nervous moment. This is not rehearsed, so this could go horribly wrong, or it could be really helpful. Very much believe in this church. Hearing the word, hearing clear instruction, but seeing evidence of things. This is how kind of we communicate best as humans, I think, all the time, is you hear something, but then you see it actually being modelled in front of you. So, you want to hold that one? I'm already mic'd up. Ruth, tell me about your small group. Who are you? Where do you meet, etc.?
We meet on Thursday evenings at Amrita's home, and we're called M&Ms. The reason for that is because it's Mary and Martha,
okay.
And we want to be like people sitting at Jesus' feet and also learn how to serve.
Okay. How many of you are there?
There are about 9 or 10 of us, yeah.
Okay. Mm. So Chris's point there was about prayer. How does your small group engage with prayer? How does being together actually help you to pray, or to pray for each other, or to pray more?
We know each other well. We know life is tough and full of ups and downs, challenges, joys, and we try and celebrate those together. But also when we go through difficult times, we have a WhatsApp group which is specifically for prayer. It's not for what we've had for breakfast or anything like that. Okay. It's specifically for important prayers, and we always pray every evening when we meet together. We worship, we look at the word, we talk together, and we encourage people to be real.
Okay. Yeah. What sort of impact do you think that's had on your group, and how's it helping, or how has it helped?
I think...
And what have you got Sam up here for?
Yeah. Sam's going to tell us a little bit about what it means to her to be in a small group. But I think it helps people to feel safe, that doesn't matter what we go through, it's okay, because we're all journeying together.
Brilliant. Okay.
Thank you. For me, you get out of house group what you put into it. So if you go into it closed down and protecting yourself, then you're going to miss out, because God loves us so much and he wants us to be open to hearing from him. And we meet with God in our house groups in a much more intimate way than you do in church, because you've got relationships that you trust with the people that are with you. And it's about openness and honesty, and it's about expecting to hear from God, because he's going to speak to you there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anything else you want to finish
with? Yes, we meet in Amrita's home, which is lovely. And I asked Amrita what small group meant to her, and this is what she says. I can share how my week has been with my small group friends, and I know if I need help or prayer, I can ask them to pray. Letting things out so I can be more free and not let things build up. I have seen God answer my prayers. I am more peaceful. God shows me through other people how he is at work. It means a lot to study the Bible together, and I love opening my home to others. It blesses me.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Ruth and Sam.
Can I just pray for you guys? That'd be... Lord, we just thank you for M&M's. Well, we thank you for all our small groups, but we thank you for the way in which you are speaking through that group to each other, Lord, the way that you are listening to their prayers. And Lord, we just pray that we would follow their example, Lord, of being open and honest and sharing our lives with each other and bearing one another's burdens. Amen. So yes, small groups facilitate prayer. Number two, they free praise, or they should free praise in our lives. They should be places of worship, you know, where we join together to share one another's burdens and pray through those things. They should also be a place where we bring the things that God is doing in our everyday, that we want to celebrate, that we want to say thank you for. You know, worship is one of those things that, well, it is the thing that should unite us. No matter who goes to your small group, worship should be the thing that brings us together. Yeah, if you want to hear a little bit more about that, Dan Wilton did a sermon a few weeks ago about this exact thing. And so often worship somehow becomes a divisive thing amongst us. I don't understand how that is. The only thing I can think is that the enemy loves to use that, because it's God's actual way of unifying us. Because we come together to worship him. Whatever else is different in our lives, we worship the same God. You know, there will come a day where the whole of humanity will be unified by worship, as every knee bows and every tongue confesses. But our small group should be a place where praise is freed, where we lift our eyes above the difficulties of our lives and the burdens we've shared to what is good in our lives, where God has been faithful, and praise as a result of that. In our small group, every week we share a high from our week and a low from our week. And I'm not saying you all have to do this, but it is a wonderful moment where we can share, this is the difficulty, this is the burden that I'm carrying, but hang on, God has been good in this way this week. We can praise God for the highs and commiserate with each other and pray for the lows. But I was thinking about this. I was thinking, yes, it should be a place where we praise together. But actually, in the same way that small groups are a place where we can practice prayer, I feel like small groups should be a place where we experiment with praise. You see, what I'm trying to say is, you know, I as a youth worker, I realise that I'm in a really privileged position in that I get to experiment with praise and worship a lot, because young people love to do kind of odd things or new things in praise and worship. So, you know, I was thinking recently, not too long ago, I had an opportunity to, I was in a room with a load of youth workers, and they were like, what we're going to do is we're going to think of one thing we love about God, and we're going to share it with every other person in the room individually. So not just into the group, but one at a time, every single one. And that way, by the end of it, there's 10 of us here, God will be praised 100 times. Does that work math-wise? Yeah, okay, cool. And that was it. It was odd. It was a little bit weird. And you're like, okay, fine. And then, like, this week, I was given a cup, a plate, and a bottle of squirty cream. And I was told to just empty the squirty cream into the cup until I had none left, and just imagine it being God's love. And so I did it, and this cream sort of overflowed out of the thing and nearly off the plate, and I was just like, there's just too much cream. And then I suddenly thought, there's just too much love. I don't know how you feel about doing those things, whether that really kind of floats your boat, or whether that's like, oh, that sounds really weird, and think of the mess. But as I was kind of reflecting on that, after Soul Survivor this year, God has been really challenging me that worship isn't about me at all. If I enjoy it, great. If I don't, it doesn't matter. It's about Him. I can sing the worst song, and there are some bad songs at Soul Survivor. I can sing the worst song, and I can think, oh, this is rubbish. But if He enjoys it, I have to do it. It should be a place where we can experiment with praise, where we can look back at all the things that God has done and praise Him in different ways. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, always be thankful. Small groups should enable us to always be thankful. And again, when it comes to our vision discovery, you know, in this time, in the next few weeks, what we're going to be doing is looking back. Before we look forward, we're going to look back and look at all the wonderful things that God has done. We're going to look at now and look at all the wonderful things He is doing. And I hope and pray that that frees us to praise Him. And our small groups are a vehicle in which we can experiment in extravagant ways of praising God. They facilitate prayer. They free praise. Perhaps one of the most important things they do is that they release the word. They unpack the word. You know, when I was at uni, there was an ongoing debate going on. One side was saying, To be honest, I didn't really get involved in this argument, but it would happen time and time again. One side of my uni friends would say that church is kind of finished. The way we do traditional church is at an end, it's irrelevant. And then the other side are going, you're ridiculous. But the side over here was saying that, you know, church as we do it here, it doesn't work in the 21st century. I don't agree. But one of the things they struggled with, they said preaching has had its day. People's attention spans aren't long enough anymore to cope with a preach, which, judging from some of you, is true. But I think what they missed and what they were missing out on here is actually preaching has a partner, and that partner is small groups. It's the place where you can get into the word, where you can go deeper than you can and you have time to in a sermon. It's a time when you can unpack it and find the application together. You know, we actually find a really good example of this in Ezra. Well, in Ezra's life. But it's in the passage in Nehemiah. Now, I'm going to read it actually for us, Nehemiah 8. And we can see the way that preaching and small groups work together. Now, you'll be pleased to hear there are some fantastically odd names in this passage. You might be sad to hear, I'm not even going to attempt them. Just going to skip right over. But feel free in your small groups this week to have a good go at pronouncing them. We're looking at Ezra 8, 1-8. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the Watergate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood people. And on his left were more people. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord and the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that people could understand what was being read. There we have a picture of how preaching and small groups should sit together. You've got Ezra, the teacher, who stands and he preaches like on a Sunday morning. I'd like to point out he did from daybreak to noon. You're doing all right. Then the Levites, the priests, they go out amongst the people and they make it clear. That is the role of small groups when it comes to this. It's making the word clear, unpacking it, delving into it, making the application clear. Now you might say, well, hang on, you know, does that make our small group leaders priests? Well, sort of. But if you were listening to Jonathan's sermon last week, we are all priests, which makes small groups actually even more important, because not only are we meeting together to listen and have it made clear, we're the ones who need to make it clear for each other. You know, we say this in our youth groups occasionally. You know, we went through a stage where some of our young people, and we're struggling again now with schoolwork and things, where priorities, you know, youth group became a little bit lower on their priority list. And that'd be something you could pray about, please. They're under so much pressure with work from school and stuff. But anyway, but what we came to the conclusion that we shared together was we as a group, as a youth group, are less when you're not there. You know, we said this to each other, we're less if you're not there because you have a perspective that God has given you that we need. And the same is true of small groups. You, half of you out there who aren't in small groups, our small groups need you. It's not a case of you know, them just wanting you, which I hope they do, but they actually need you. They are less because you aren't there. Small groups are a place where we can unpack, release the word. And I want to say something controversial here. I don't believe it's enough to just listen to a sermon. We have to have that unpacking, that accountability. Maybe you can do that on your own, but for me, definitely, I need a small group to help me do that. So they facilitate prayer. They free praise. They release the word. Perhaps the most important thing small groups do, they nurture fellowship. That's what a small group should be about. They are the primary way as a church that we live out Jesus' command to love one another. You know, God's love, as I looked at with that cream, it is bigger than just loving a small group. It's bigger than just loving a community here. It's as big as loving the entire world if we can do it. Because that's what God's love is. But we can't invest all of our love in everybody. Small groups is a way that we can gather a few people together and invest our love in them. You know, in the same way, and this is where going back to the family idea works really well. You know, you have maybe a big extended family, but then you have your close family. This is how it should work with the church. We are one big family here. You know, as Paul puts it in Ephesians, the manifold wisdom of God is the church, the body of Christ, the family of the church. We are now brothers and sisters because of what Jesus has done. But we need to be in small groups, close-knit families where we can invest that love in each other so we can show the world what it looks like to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And what's wonderful is in a family, you get to know each other's strengths and weaknesses. You get to know each other's faults and the things they're amazing at. We get to offer support and love and care and help develop each other in skills and knowledge. And one of the wonderful things about families is that they still love even when somebody's weird. You know, and you know, I bet each of you can think in your family of one oddball. And if you can't, I've got terrible news for you. is love, despite weirdness, despite difference. This is the manifold wisdom of God. And that's why it's so important we are in small groups, that we love one another. You know, I'm so glad my small group love a weirdo. They're there to nurture fellowship, that we might live out that command to love one another, and so that people might see that we are his followers because of the way we love.
Overton to come up and share about his small group, Dave.
Thank you. I'm also glad that my small group loves weirdos. Yeah, I was thinking about what to say this morning about fellowship. And it reminds, and yes, just what Chris has said really about what is fellowship. And it's kind of, to me, the two words were honesty and acceptance. And the thing I love about my small group is that I can just be myself. Ever since my home church, there was like 20 or 30 people in. And that's what I was used to growing up. So coming to Southampton in 2005 and going to lots of different churches, much bigger, I just got lost in the noise. Massive churches, to me, I perceived to be massive. And so at that point, small groups became the lifeblood to me of how I could actually get to know people and just be myself. And I'm quite strange. And if you don't think I'm strange, you probably don't know me that well. I'm quite a strange guy. And so, for me to actually open up and be who I am, this is my personality, but I find that hard on a Sunday and in big kind of places like this. And actually on a Thursday night, or whenever, I can just be myself. And that's been a huge encouragement to me. One kind of example of this was we had an activity to encourage people that someone started. And someone said in our group, I won't say who it was, I remember who it was, but I won't tell you, I won't embarrass them. They said, I had a good sense of humour. And I thought that was a really strange thing for them to say, because I thought I was being quite reserved in myself, and I didn't think they would pick up on that. That I had a sense of humour at all, let alone that they thought it was a good sense of humour. But to me, it was so encouraging, because I never thought that they would see that in me, and that they would pick up on that. So it was just great to hear, oh, right, so they've noticed something about me personally. But to go with that, I suppose I've had to be open and honest and be myself for someone to notice that. That's just obviously a small example. But I think being honest and being who you are is so important. And Chris has already mentioned in our small group, we do spend quite a bit of time talking about ourselves. And sorry, that sounds bad, doesn't it? we do spend quite a bit of time talking about our highs and lows, our weeks, how we're doing. And we do really try and get involved in each other's lives. And that's, to me, is just such an encouragement to me. And what was I going to say? So just practically, that's taken a long time to kind of come through for me. It takes me a long time to kind of get to know people. Again, that's my kind of personality. But I think, it just takes time for that to kind of build. But now in recent years, we've got to a place where obviously we had so much support when Jonah was first born, with meals and things like that. And just even before Jonah was born, actually, emotional support. So it took us a while to have Jonah, and that was quite difficult. And just having a family of people to pray for us and just really kind of get alongside us and support us was great. And then even when we found out we were pregnant, they're just prayers and encouragements of what I might be like as a father and all those kind of things that you worry about. And just hearing people encourage you is just so, it's just encouraging, you know. So it's just really great. And then that kind of boils over to practical steps of helping with meals and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's it really for me.
So what's the point of small groups? They facilitate prayer, they free praise, they release the word, they nurture fellowship. And the final one I want to suggest is that they extend the kingdom. Actually, all tied up with nurturing fellowship. They're not two different things. You know, actually, the call to love one another, as we said, Jesus said, how will people know you are my followers if you love one another? You know, as we nurture fellowship, actually, we seek to extend the kingdom. You know, I don't think the two things can exist differently. You know, apparently, I read a great quote this week that I'm going to share with you. I wish I'd just said it and you thought it was me, but it was this: the church exists for mission as a fire exists for burn. You can't have one without the other. A fire burns, the church is missional. That's the way it should work. And the same is true of our small groups. As they are a part of the body, as they are part of what it means to be church, they should extend the kingdom. And part of it comes from that wrapping around people, being family. You know, when you get a new person coming to the church, getting into the small group should be one of the first things we do. And we should wrap around them as small groups. Love them, invest in them. Let them know that even if they're weird, they've got a place here. You know, that's the way in which we should extend the kingdom. But not only that, that small groups should be a place where we talk about mission, where we talk about what God is calling us to do, whether that be individually or whether that be as a group, as a small group itself, or whether that be as a church or even as the church with a big C. We should be talking about what it means, about what God is calling us to. And this is part of what we're trying to do through this vision process, is to listen in our small groups to what is God saying about how we might draw more people in. How is God leading us that we might draw more people into this group, make our family larger, love on more and more people? Who is it we can wrap around? Who is it we can extend the kingdom to? You know, I don't know where your small group's at, and I've probably shared this 100 times on the show. One more time. I don't know where your small group's at, whether you're at a place where you find it might be quite difficult to draw somebody in. That's okay. That's okay. We hope and pray that there comes a moment where you're able to do that, or the right people come along for you to wrap around and draw in. But can I just encourage you, one of the greatest things that happened to our small group was when we had a new Christian join us. It was just absolutely amazing because we had to go back to things we'd begun to take for granted. We go back and we'd be like, of course, you haven't heard this story. This story's amazing. You know, God is just incredible. It was a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I encourage you, if you're in a small group and you're kind of feeling perhaps a little bit stale, invite someone new. Whether they be a Christian or not, you know, small groups should be a place where people are able to come and they just want, if they want to hear a little bit more about the gospel but are too afraid to come into church. Because if nothing else, even if they don't understand a word you're saying because you're still speaking Christianese, they should see the love that you have for one another. And that should make a difference. So, what's the point of small groups? Right, you could probably say it with me now. They facilitate prayer. They free praise. They release the word. They nurture fellowship. And they extend the kingdom. Can you see why I'm so excited about them? Why they're so important? Yesterday we had a prayer meeting, and both people who were leading the prayer meeting said, oh, I felt I should share with you this passage, and it was the passage that I wanted to share with you this morning. I haven't factored in on it too much because I thought God obviously used it yesterday. But I believe it is an encouragement for us as small groups, a challenge to us as small groups, and it's Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25. So I'm just going to end with this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's just pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your manifold wisdom that is the church. That you have made us brothers and sisters. That you have made us family. And Lord, we thank you that you have arranged us. You encourage us to be a part of close family. Lord, I pray for everyone here who is in a small group and those that aren't in a small group, Lord, that we would open ourselves up to being family together. With all that means, all the heartache and pain and all the joy and goodness as well. Lord, I just pray that you would bless us in our small groups. You would help us to prioritize and not give up meeting as some are in the habit of doing, Lord, but we would meet together that we might seek your face, that we might praise you for the faithfulness you have shown us, that we might delve into this love letter of your word, that we might love one another as you commanded us to, and that we might extend your kingdom. Amen.